When you turn on your TV, chances are you often see commercials for Viagra or news about some new study on erectile dysfunction. But there's not much public talk about a surprisingly common problem related to women's sexual health, pain during sex. So when a recent study in the Journal of Sexual Medicine reported that about a third of all women experienced that pain, many people started paying attention, including some women who'd been suffering in silence. Rachel Zimmerman is one of those women. She's a longtime health reporter, and she's also the co-host of Common Health, WBUR's health blog. So she decided to go public on Common Health with her own experience with painful sex, and the blog was flooded with feedback. Rachel joined us earlier to talk about her decision to share this publicly and about the treatment she tried to fix the problem.
A little less than a year ago, I did start experiencing pain during sex, to put it bluntly. And my first response was just to ignore it. I thought it was nothing, it would go away. And then a few months passed and it didn't go away. And I thought, you know, it wasn't horrible pain. I would describe it as mild to moderate. But I just decided I should probably get it checked out. So I went to my fantastic OBGYN in Cambridge, Beth Hardiman, and she did a pelvic exam, and she quickly determined that my pelvic muscles were incredibly tight, and in fact, they were in spasm.
You describe it in your blog post as if the muscles were locked in permanent spasm, like if you gripped your shoulders up to your ears and never let go.
Right. That's how she described it. And she said to me, "I'm going to send you for pelvic floor massage." And I thought, great. And she actually wrote me a prescription for pelvic floor physical therapy. And I just have to tell you that I've been writing about healthcare for 10 years, and I wrote a book about birth, and I have two kids, so I'm sort of immersed in this world of women's health, and I had never, ever heard of pelvic floor physical therapy. So I sort of jumped into this world and sought treatment and found these incredible therapists at the Brigham who helped me, and ultimately the pain disappeared.
You are a health writer, of course. And I think you even wrote in your blog that at first you felt like this is just too much information to share. This may even be feel like too much information for listeners, but you ultimately decided that this was an important thing to talk publicly about. So why did you decide that?
Right. I had this story in my head for months, and I considered writing about it several times. But every time I sat down to do it, I thought, exactly. Too much information. My husband's going to be really annoyed. It's too much. And then this study came out several months ago. It was a massive study of about 6,000 people about their sex lives. And in the research, it was reported that about a third of women said they had pain during sex. And I thought, wow, this is this secret crisis going on where women are suffering. Nobody's talking about it. And I felt like I had to write about it.
In one of your follow-up blog posts, you talked about how it made you realize that there were these women, as you put it, quietly enduring their extreme and often secret discomfort. And then you found that there actually is enough demand for pelvic floor PT in Boston that I think it was a wait list of several months for you initially to try to get an appointment.
That's right. Dr. Hardiman gave me a list of about 15 providers in the Boston area. The first five I called weren't even taking new patients because they were booked. Then I finally found this group at the Brigham, which actually surprised me. And again, I had to wait about 3 or 4 months to get an appointment there, but ultimately I did.
You also write, when you were talking about your first visit for pelvic floor physical therapy, which I think you said sometimes gets called massage, that you wrote doctors hate it when it's called massage. And you wrote, because it connotes either being pampered at the spa or engaging in X-rated behavior, which it's definitely not now that you've gone through it. So tell us what it is. What is pelvic floor physical therapy?
Right. It's not pampering, believe me. And it's fairly intense. So basically, I went for 5 sessions, although my insurance authorized 8. And the range of therapies was broad. We did muscle relaxing exercises. We did hip openers and hip strengtheners. She did use internal techniques, which I wouldn't really call massage, but it was more sort of pressure points to try to release muscles and actually to desensitize some of my nerve endings that had become hypersensitive. We did biofeedback to try to track how tense my muscles were and to figure out how to get them to relax. And we had several discussions about related organs, the bladder, the bowel, and of course the brain, because the brain is hugely important in sex. And all of these parts profoundly affect how the pelvic region experiences sensation of all kinds.
As we've said, you've been blogging about this on Common Health. Several series, first to talk about the issue of painful sex and how studies show that it's more common than many women might want to say out loud. Then you talked about going to get your pelvic floor therapy. You've gotten a fair number of comments. How would you describe what the feedback has been?
The feedback's really been phenomenal, and almost all of it has been disclosures by women of their own problems and pleas for help. You know, everything from, I've had painful sex for 10 years, or I decided I was never going to have sex again because it hurt, or I'm in menopause. Is there anything particular to my situation that I can do to help myself? I mean, I just feel like here we are, you know, if our kids have the most minor sniffle or any kind of pain, we rush off to help them. But we're adult women and we're professionals and we suffer with this pain and people don't get help. And it's really shocking to me.
Rachel, as you've said, you had some hesitancy about blogging about this and even about talking about it on the radio. But you ultimately decided that as a health journalist, you had a responsibility of sorts to talk about this, that it was an issue many women probably wanted to talk about. Now, having become the poster child locally for this, any regrets about having decided, all right, I am going to share more than I may have been comfortable with?
No, I mean, I just feel like if we don't talk about our stories, no one else will. And how else do you get a conversation going? And I really feel like if these women are suffering in silence and there's an alternative out there that can help them, I would like to help.
Rachel Zimmerman is co-host of WBUR's health blog, Common Health. If you want to read Rachel's posts on this topic, go to the Common Health blog on WBUR's website. We're also hosting a live web chat happening right now. It's moderated by Rachel and by Dr. Iman El-Qadri, who is a urogynecologist at Mount Auburn Hospital. And you can find that live web chat at our website, wbur.org/Boston. And joining us now in the studio to talk about the causes of pain during sex and new treatments for this problem are two local people from the local medical community. Dr. Samantha Pulliam is Associate Director of Urogynecology and Pelvic Reconstructive Surgery at Mass General Hospital. Welcome to Radio Boston, Dr. Pulliam.
Thank you.
Also with us is Jessica McKinney. She's a physical therapist who specializes in women's health at Marathon Physical Therapy in Newton. Thanks for being here, Jessica.
Thank you very much.
And listeners, we are taking your calls. We want to know if you've been one of these silent sufferers, as Rachel Zimmerman called them, and if you've received help for some kind of pelvic pain, and then how your doctors have reacted if you've gone in with this kind of complaint and how they've treated your symptoms. We want to know if you feel like you've had this issue and doctors even have a grasp of what it is or what the available therapies are. You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. Dr. Samantha Pulliam, let me start with you. As I said when we introduced this, men's sexual health has become such a common and open topic for so many people: prostate cancer, erectile dysfunction, Viagra. Yet this is a topic that we don't hear much about. Yet the study came out saying that up to a third of all women have pain during sex. That was a surprising statistic to many of us. Can you tell us first what causes that pain? What's happening physically?
Well, there are a number of causes to pain. And to be honest, pain during intercourse really needs to be broken down a little more specifically to understand exactly what the cause is. There are essentially three locations for pain during intercourse. One would be just at the outside or the opening of the vagina. One would be within the vagina, and the other would be deeper inside the pelvis or the abdomen. And so all of those things have different causes. To be honest, a lot of the time we don't really know what the cause is, but there are lots of things that seem to be associated with pain with intercourse. Some of those things include social issues like anxiety or a history of sexual abuse. Some include things like trauma, whether that be through a vaginal delivery or through some form of surgery. And some include changes that happens over the course of life, such as menopause.
Is it a misconception that people who have this pain have typically already had children and it's somehow related to childbirth? Mm-hmm.
It can be related to childbirth, although I think that the vast majority of women who go through childbirth don't end up having pain with intercourse. But certainly it happens at all points during the lifespan. Some individuals, women, experience pain with intercourse from the very first time they have intercourse. And other women don't experience any discomfort until they're much older, perhaps after menopause.
Jessica McKinney, you're a physical therapist who works on this area in particular. Mm-hmm. And as I read about this in preparation for doing this, one of the things that came up is that for many women, it's difficult to even describe what they're feeling. It's, you know, it's a vague area, your pelvis, that's hard for them to say, is it the pain inside, is the pain outside? Give us a sense of what you hear from people when they come in, when they come to you because they've been told that maybe physical therapy can help.
I would say among the first things that we hear is, why did it take so long? Why did it take so long for them to find out that something could be done, that there was help available, that you know, in quotes, it's not just me. There are a lot of people that have felt like they were suffering in silence, and so that's among the first that we hear. And then when they're describing their physical symptoms, there is a lot of crosstalk amongst all of the organs, the muscles, and the skin tissues that are in the pelvis, so that they can be confused by what they're feeling. You know, is it a bladder symptom? Is it, is it tearing right at the opening? Or, you know, is it my muscles deep inside? A lot of people don't even know that there are muscles inside the pelvis that could be contributory to pain.
And again, as I've read about this, the pelvis is a very complicated region. There are a lot of body systems coming together, so it can be hard to sort out what's causing what.
I think that cannot be overstated. Yes.
We have calls already, so let me bring somebody in from Belmont. This is Leslie, who wants to comment about her own experience. And Leslie, what's your experience with this?
Well, I've been having pain for about 25 or more years, which is awful because I'm a little over 50 now. I feel bad for me. I feel bad for my husband. could possibly lay blame at one particular event, but I don't know if that's useful. Have you heard of anything?
Do you want to share that event, or does it seem too personal?
No, it was the Rely tampon back when.
Let me turn that over to the doctors. Dr. Pulliam, do you want to address this?
So I think that very often people remember an event that seems to have initiated pain, and it's maybe not that ever since that moment the pain has been exactly the same level of intensity or the same area, but that an initiation event such as a trauma of some kind can begin a process by which other muscles and other areas within the local area of the vagina are recruited and are become uncomfortable, so that an event, you know, even in the distant past, can sometimes lead to pain sometime during the present.
We have another caller from Sutton, and this is Linda from Sutton, who has a comment to make also.
Yes. I was on estrogen as I was going through menopause, so everything was fine. But when the problems came up with what estrogen can cause, I stopped taking them, and that's when I started experiencing painful sex because of the vaginal dryness, I guess. And I don't know if pelvic floor therapy could help something like that.
Well, maybe Jessica, Linda, thank you for that. And let me have Jessica, you want to explain what pelvic floor therapy is? I want to mention that I believe that pelvic floor physical therapy is actually part of the maternal benefits package that women in France get. So this is certainly not a fringe thing by any means in a country like France.
Right, absolutely. It's standard par for the course in France and in many communities in Europe. And it really is, at its simplest form, it's an examination and treatment of the pelvic floor muscles, making sure that the muscles are of appropriate strength, of appropriate length, and that they're functioning appropriately for all of our daily tasks, such as control of bowel and bladder habits and with sexual function. However, the physical therapy approach is best to include looking at postural changes, behavioral changes, body mechanics, so that we're kind of looking at the pelvis within the whole of the body, and that would entail pelvic floor physical therapy would entail that.
Let me bring in another caller. This is a caller from Amherst, New Hampshire, and this is Mary. And Mary, have you had an experience with this too?
Yes, I've been experiencing this for about a decade, and I'm not sure if it's related, but it started to happen after I birthed my two children. And not to get into the whole long details, but when I did finally express my concern with my doctors, if it was a female doctor, I often got "join the club" as the response. And So that was a little depressing. And then finally, when I pushed the point, my midwife gave me an exam, and her conclusion was that it was sort of a shifting of organs during childbirth, and that I had to be very specific. I don't want to get too detailed because I'm on the radio, but during intercourse about positioning, and it still hasn't helped. So I'm actually really excited to hear about this, because none of my friends have expressed having the same problem, and I felt very alone and unique in this. So I'm definitely going to look into it. But I just was wondering, can childbirth contribute to this, or could this be something totally unrelated?
Dr. Pulliam, do you want to take that question?
Sure. I do think that childbirth can contribute in some ways. I don't want to scare anyone. I think having a baby is a wonderful thing. And by and large, as this caller has expressed, most people seem to make it through having multiple children without pain. But certainly there are specific tears and ways of repair that can happen after childbirth that can contribute to scarring in the vagina. And also, sometimes the muscles in the pelvis become disrupted as a result of a vaginal delivery. And so those things can cause pain.
And I think, Jessica McKinney, you do this physical therapy. I think what many women like about this physical therapy is it doesn't require surgery. It doesn't require taking a drug. That there's something they can do that is less invasive and not pharmaceutical that might be helpful.
Correct. And with regard to the former caller, when she was asking about the symptoms that developed after she went off of estrogen, certainly a conversation is required with a physician or her other healthcare providers about supplemental estrogen and if that is appropriate. And she wondered about physical therapy and if there is underlying muscle dysfunction or underlying biomechanical dysfunction, physical therapy can be an adjunct in addition to any other medical.
Dr. Pulliam, you want to jump in?
And I do want to say, you know, there is a lot of concern regarding oral estrogens with some of the recent research that's been out that made a lot of physicians sort of draw back in terms of prescribing it. But there are other options, including a vaginal estrogen that's designed to work exclusively in the vagina, which isn't considered to be as dangerous or risky as some of the other forms of estrogen. And then there are also some over-the-counter lubricants that can be used.
What about testosterone? We have a caller who said that her doctor put her on testosterone.
Yeah. There are some trials, even where I work, that are examining that, but I don't know that the information's been very conclusive about that.
I want to go back to something that the previous caller said. She said she was told to join the club. Mm. And I wonder, I think when this study came out saying that up to a third of all women could have pain during sex, that was shocking for some people to hear. Yet this woman is being told join the club, which suggests that it's a big club. Mm-hmm. Yet she says she felt very alone. So if this is such a problem, and if the studies are right, why don't more people hear about it? Are people embarrassed to talk about it?
I think that's certainly a huge factor, that women are embarrassed. And I think that when they get the courage to bring it up to a healthcare provider and maybe are told join the club, or are met with I don't really have a good explanation for that, that it leaves them very disheartened and, you know, feeling, well, why would I bother to mention it? And there really is this perception that there is a price that you pay for childbirth, for example, and that is one of the costs, and you just chalk it up. You know,
Now, Rachel Zimmerman, who's the blogger for Common Health that we heard from earlier, has two children, but she believes, or her doctor believes, that the reason she ended up with this problem is that she had a bladder infection that she had ignored, and it should have been attended to earlier and wasn't, and that resulted in the muscles reacting in such a way that made everything very tense and they wouldn't untense. So, Dr. Pulliam, is that the kind of thing that can lead to this as well, just a bladder infection, which can be common among women, not getting attended to the way it should?
So one of the things I think is important to understand is that there are a lot of organs in the pelvis, including the bladder and the rectum and the vagina, and they all sit on top of pelvic floor muscles. So whenever something happens that's a painful event, that can definitely incite pain and discomfort in the muscles. And muscles just act as protective agents. You know, they contract because it hurts. And sometimes you can have a urinary tract infection that hurts and the muscles don't recover as quickly as the UTI goes away.
So what should be done to make women and doctors more educated about this? I mean, for some women, if they were to go to see their doctor, would doctors even know that pelvic floor physical therapy is available? Jessica, do you want to address the education piece? Do you need to educate doctors as much as the women who may have this problem?
I would say yes, and that goes for my profession as well, for physical therapists as well. It's only within the last few years that I feel that new physical therapists are coming out of school with any knowledge of this as a practice area. And I just think that the education piece is huge, and that we won't succeed by just educating the medical community and ignoring education for women.
Are there enough people who specialize in this kind of physical therapy to meet demand?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. I have patients who wait months and months, and they have fantastic results when they're able to see a physical therapist, but the wait is really sometimes embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. Do many women want female pelvic floor physical therapists because it's a very intimate thing? And does that end up sort of limiting the pool because they may say that if there's a male physical therapist, I'd really rather not be treated by that person?
Well, that becomes pretty self-limiting. I've met one male ever who's really gone into this as a specialty, and physical therapy is still a female-dominated profession. So with that regard, we end up okay.
Are there schools now that are trying to specialize in this? Is it an area in which departments are being added or a course is being added?
Not so much to my knowledge. There are very few schools that seem to hold women's health and pelvic floor physical therapy as a huge part of the curriculum. Increasingly, there are postgraduate options for training, and those classes are becoming very, very popular, which is exciting. They're filling up. There are more classes offered for interested physical therapists. And I would say within the last 5 years, there's been a big change in that, in the right direction.
Good. Mm-hmm. Jessica and Dr. Pulliam, thanks to both of you for talking about this.
Thank you.
Dr. Samantha Pulliam is Associate Director of Urogynecology and Pelvic Reconstructive Surgery at Mass General Hospital. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Jessica McKinney is a physical therapist who specializes in women's health at Marathon Physical Therapy in Newton. Jessica, thank you.
Thank you.
And I also want to thank Rachel Zimmerman. She is, as we said, co-host of WBUR's health blog, Common Health, and also Dr. Iman El-Khadri, who's a urogynecologist at Mount Auburn Hospital. They've been moderating our web chat, our live web chat during this. That's going to continue, and you can join it now at wbur.org/Boston. Coming up after a break, how does a professional women's soccer team celebrate winning the national title? It folds. And that's not the only thing going wrong in women's soccer. Bill Littlefield explains. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.